are men to do in the church? And then what are women to do in the church? Well, from chapter 2, we find several things. Men are, first of all, here's your blanks. Men are to pray. Verse 8, and let me read that verse. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, very interesting. Often in interpreting these verses and walking through, people get caught up in the position of prayer and not the fact that they're supposed to be praying. Men are to be leaders in prayer in the worship service. Why is it that we on Sunday mornings, why? Well, of course, we just prayed here. And that's a good thing. But we have our deacons lead us in prayer. I lead the service in prayer. We close the service in prayer. That's a part of proper biblical worship. And it's a right thing for our men who are ordained by God to be leaders, both in our homes and in our country and in our churches, to lead us that way, to be the spiritual leaders. And that's some proper importance. So men are to pray there as well. They are to teach. There's your next blank. They are to teach, and they are to lead. All right, those are the two blanks there, teach and lead. And this, obviously, you can read from verses 1 all the way through verse 13 if you'd like. But verse 12 is in particular. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, talking about leadership there, but to be in silence. And again, we've talked about this, to be quiet, to have a meek and quiet spirit. It doesn't mean that the ladies, the moment they walk in the door, can't talk again. Aren't you glad, ladies? But when it comes to leadership, and again, I know in some respects I'm preaching to the choir. You're folks who understand these things, but it's important for us as children of God strive to be careful to follow all that God gives us. This is clear New Testament teaching, and I know it goes totally against our culture. But that's okay. We're going to still obey the Bible, right? Okay. So God desires that men do the leading. So when, for instance, the practical reality of that, obviously we have men that teach our Sunday school classes, the adult Sunday school classes. As we try to make proper application, obviously we have some ladies that are teaching our children, and I don't necessarily see that that's an issue. Notice here in the verse, the ladies are not to teach the men, right? Not to suffer a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority. I'm talking too fast. Usurp authority over to the man, all right? So for our ladies to help teach up through about sixth grade, but there is, we make the decision on purpose that when we hit the teen years, that when they're combining classes and so forth, that we have a man teaching that. We want them to learn both the boys and the girls in that class, and believe me, I've been a youth pastor, you know that, for two decades, all right? They're just, I realize in some respects, well, they're just kids still. Yeah, they absolutely are. But we understand that they're starting to grow, they're starting to change, and they need to see good example, godly leadership. And God, as He has in His, and in the Godhead, God the Father is the head. And so in all the organizations that God establishes as an organism, He's put men as the head as well. So that's important. And the other practical thing is, so for instance, when we conduct business, when there's leadership required of the congregation, that's why we encourage ladies, let the men speak. Let the men ask questions. You say, well, what if I have a question? Well, if you're married, and then ask him, have him raise his hand, right? Maybe not quite that mean, okay? But but that's important. And you know, ladies, here's the other thing that I realize that we don't do it for every business meeting. There are times where, but we try not to hide what we're doing. It's not like we're trying to pounce something on you. So especially for the annual budget meeting, we give you the budget ahead of time to look over. That's opportunity. So even like our widow ladies that don't have a man that can ask the question, that gives them time to talk to myself, the deacons, or one of the other men in the church and say, hey, would you go ask them this question? Or come ask us directly the question outside of the meeting. And there's just that spirit of humility then and proper leadership that God desires even in the business meeting that I think is appropriate and right. I think that that honors God. It's not about any one of us men being large and in charge, okay? No, it actually brings honor to God for us to use this authority structure that He has set up, okay? So men are to pray, teach, and lead. You say, well, then what are the women supposed to do? Thank you for asking, all right? Paul said, let me put it this way, and we'll probably stop and discuss this next week, all right? 2 weeks from now. But I'm going to give you the blanks and then you can study it. Women are to, number one, be good. Oh, really? No. Wait a second. You have a unique skill, and this is verses 9 and 10, to demonstrate to all of us what righteousness is. I firmly believe that God has tempered you, ladies, in such a way that there is a tenderness of your heart to lean toward what is, especially when you're under the Spirit's control, to lean toward what is good, that at times us men have a struggle with. When there's a conflict, what happens to a guy? I'm going to get my way and show that guy what's what. And a lady has a lot more tendency to be good in that situation, though she may know, and you ladies have that sixth sense. You know when there's a conflict without a word being said. All right, as dunces as men sometimes don't catch it, you got to smack us in the face with it. Well, in that midst of that, if you can exemplify goodness, that is so, and I'm preaching already, but anyways, that is a critical example for us. Ladies, be good. Secondly, learn. That's verse 11. Learn, and we'll talk about this two weeks from now. You are to use what God has given you here in the church then to infiltrate and affect your family, and that's the third point. Rear children. It is the rule. It's not necessarily, in a sense, it's not a hard and fast rule, but it is the norm. Maybe that's a better word to put it. That God desires for women to bear children and to raise those children up for God's glory. You have a unique... Now you say some ladies can't or they're not married. I understand that, and God understands that too. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. All right, go back there and you can give your life to the Lord in unique ways of ministry. But it is the normal part of God's plan for women. And this is verse 15 I have specifically on that one, is to rear the children. And that's the verses I want to take some time to explain just a little bit, walking through that. Ladies, bless you for being godly in your home and raising children. That is a God-given role. It's part of Proverbs 31 woman. It's carried into the New Testament. You have a deep, deep, abiding effect on the next generation. I know that God has designed for families to be whole, to have a husband and a wife, to have a father and mother, and that children from those relationships often are very stable. But I will tell you that a godly mother can produce godly children, even if there's a husband that's fighting against the Lord or a non-existent husband. That's that amazing. I think my children would tell you they are so glad that God's given us a mom in the home. And that's okay. I admit I am not a good mom. And there's all right. And there's even though I passionately, as their father, wanted them and tried to communicate truth to them, there are certain things that it seems as though a mother's tender touch and wise and good example can accomplish in the heart of a child that a father will never be able to quite accomplish. And I rejoice in that. So anyways, that is an amazing role, ladies, that you should never forsake, and you should cherish that God has given it to you, because we need that. Okay, I'm going to stop there for the night. We'll come back and pick up in a couple weeks. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, as we discuss and look at the roles of men and women in the church, what an important truth. Lord, help our men to be leaders as God has called them, not tyrants, not lording it over, but to be the servants they're supposed to be in leading the congregation in righteousness. Help them to teach God's word well, those that have especially been given that responsibility. Lord, I pray that you would help the men to be prayer warriors, to know how to communicate with their God well, and to lead us in that communication. And then our ladies, Lord, would you help them to be good, to be that type of example, to be quick to learn, to show us even how to learn and how to apply it to our lives. I admit that it's often the ladies that demonstrate an ability to grasp God's word, make right application, and it's from them that we learn things. Thank you for them. And then, Lord, even in relationship to worshiping of God, the rearing of children is critical. Lord, I pray that you would help our mothers here and grandmothers here tonight to continue to be faithful in that God-given responsibility that affects your worship and affects the world and the next generation. So give us strength this week to accomplish even the roles that you've called us to. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday. We are planning, those of you that go calling Saturday morning, Lord willing, we'll be out calling Saturday morning at 10:30. All right? See you later. Have a good evening.